Hey, before your Q3 call, I've got the campaign brief ready, built from last quarter's data and the competitive landscape.
Great. Did you include the differentiation angle the CMO asked for?
Already in there. Three angles no competitor's using right now. Just need your approval.
Approved. Thanks. Oh, agents, where would we be without you?
Somewhere with a lot more tabs open.
Create your first Monday agent in minutes at monday.com.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And as we do every Wednesday at 9 o'clock, it is time to go inside the Preds locker room. Brought to you by Gary Ashton, Remax Advantage, and Social Furniture. So Social Furniture in West Nashville at 5412 Charlotte Avenue. Support local. Support social. And with that in mind, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Predators captain Roman Josi. Roman, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Good. How are you?
We're good. Appreciate you taking time to call in today. So, Roman, obviously a tough one last night, falling 3-0 to the Toronto Maple Leafs. What was kind of your takeaway from the game last night as you guys try to rebound coming up later this week against Montreal?
Yeah, it was a tough game for us. I mean, probably not our best game. I think played a lot of defense, didn't get much going offensively, really. Obviously, they're a good team, they're a fast team, but it was still 1-0. Chiefs kept us in. We had a chance to win, but obviously couldn't get it done.
Yeah, it seemed like, and I know going into the game, there was some talk too, Roman, about, you know, staying out of the box against that team in particular, very important. And that it played out that way, of course. I would like to get your thoughts without trying to get you in trouble here, but on the penalty on Ryan Johansson, I know John Hines wasn't especially happy with it. What did you guys get a good explanation of that? I know that's it's a close judgment call in the way they're trying to call that now, but it looked like you guys maybe had a gripe there.
Was that the first one?
Yeah, the first one.
I didn't even see it, to be honest
with you. Okay.
But I remember nobody was really happy about it. But I didn't see it live, and I didn't see a replay. So I don't know if Heinze talked to the ref or not.
Well, in general, how important is that? I mean, even just for you personally, I mean, you do everything. So if you're killing penalties and things like that, I mean, how much does that drain a team when you are going to the box? And you guys, I know, have had different stretches over the past few years where it's been better and worse, but how important is that?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I think every time you get a power play, it's kind of, it gives you a lot of momentum. Even if you don't score, it's hard for the penalty killers. Obviously, you got to block shots. The power play gets a lot of chances, gets shots, so it kind of gives the team momentum. So if you have to kill, especially against a team like that, you have to kill a couple of times. Obviously, they scored on that first power play. And then even the rest of the game, we took more penalties to them. So it just kind of gives the other team momentum, and especially in games where you don't have a lot going, sometimes the power play can help you gain that momentum offensively.
Predators captain Roman Josi on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Roman, even with last night's game notwithstanding, you guys have been in the middle of an impressive stretch right now. I'm curious, from your vantage point, what's it been like to watch a guy like Matt Duchene, who obviously, he's talked about not as productive as he wanted to be the last couple of years. He's been incredibly productive so far this season. What's it been like to play with him and to watch him begin the season the way he has so far?
Yeah, it's been great. I mean, he's been unbelievable for us. Obviously, he's scoring a lot of goals. he's creating chances. He's making great plays out there. He's and it's, I mean, it shows in our success recently. I think he's such a big part of the team, and when he's going like that, we'll get a lot more wins.
Is it, obviously sometimes, you know, you get hot, Roman, and, you know, I mean, the puck is going in the back of the net. I mean, you could argue, and I remember Matt last year, like, he had some bad luck, and he talked about that, and sometimes you get on a hot streak. But is there, do you think there's a difference apart from, you know, the shooting percentage and the numbers in, you know, approach or even, you know, the speed that he's playing, confidence, like a difference in what you're seeing from him on a shift-by-shift basis?
Yeah, I mean, it feels like this year he's generating chances like every shift. Every time he's out there, he's generating something. And I think it's not just this offensive game. I mean, he's working extremely hard out there. He's back-checking. He's playing well defensively. Obviously, that line plays a lot of offense because they have to puck a lot. But I just think this year you can see it, like every shift. Every time you're out there with him or you see him on the ice, you know something's going to happen and he's going to generate something. And I think if you generate that many chances, at some point, puck's going to go in for you.
Roman, what about you personally? It seems from, you know, the outside looking in, you're playing some of the best hockey of your career to begin the season. How do you feel out there? How do you feel about the way that your season has started so far personally?
Yeah, good. I mean, it's been a good start. And I think every time your team is winning, it makes the game a lot easier for each individual guy. And yeah, it's been a good start. I mean, we're having a lot of fun this year. We're a team that works really hard, and I think we know how we have to play to win. And I think that's what makes it so fun this year.
So does it feel like basically a continuation in terms of how you're playing, the expectations for everyone, and how, I guess, there's a comfort level there, a continuation of the, you know, the run to the playoffs last year? And if so, I guess how much was just having like a regular or a more regular like off season and then training camp, how much of a factor has that been?
Yeah, that definitely was a factor too. I mean, I think we definitely learned kind of our identity last year towards the end of the year then in playoffs, and we definitely brought that into this year, just knowing what makes our team successful and the way we have to play. And yeah, I think for everyone in the league, I think just having a normal off season, I think we're so used to the same off season that last year was kind of tough to. You almost didn't know how to train. You were training for a while, but then it didn't start, and then it's almost like you trained too much or like you didn't really know how to train. And so I think for everyone in the league, everybody's pretty happy about going back to a normal off-season, that normal training camp, and you can just prepare the way you always did.
Roman, how strange is it going to be coming up against Montreal later this week to not see number six out there on the other side in Shea Weber?
Yeah, it will be strange for sure. I mean, obviously, he was such a huge part, such a good friend of mine in Nashville, and just, I think, around the league, the respect he has around the league. Everybody has so much respect for him as a player and as a person. And yeah, not having him out there this year is definitely not good for anyone. So we'll definitely miss playing against him.
He was, you know, obviously a mentor to you in your young years coming up through this organization, Roman. Now you're in that role. I know Alex, you know, has been out a little bit here, but it seems like that's been a really good pairing. And obviously Dante seems to have responded big time to last season with a good off season. What are you seeing from those young guys? And do you feel like, you know, this is a top four that has, you know, staying power together moving forward here?
Yeah, I think so. I think those guys have been playing great. Obviously, Carsey got hurt last week, but I think, yeah, both of them. I mean, I'm playing with Fabs mostly since I don't know, game two or game three. And I think Faps is an unbelievable puck mover. I think he's playing with a lot of confidence this year. He's making great plays, and I love playing with him. I mean, he gives me so many passes and kind of frees me up to jump up and play. And he's been unbelievable. He's making a lot of great plays, and same with Carsey. I think he showed it last year how well he can play, and he's continuing to do that this year.
Predators captain Roman Josi has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexroad. Roman, really appreciate you taking time to join us this morning, and good luck as y'all travel to Montreal later this week.
No problem. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Roman Josi, our guest here on Robbie and Rexroad, brought to you by Gary Ashton Remax Advantage and Social Furniture. Social Furniture in West Nashville at 5412 Charlotte Avenue. Support local. Support social. He is a very humble man, that Roman Josi. You ask him about himself, and he immediately deflects it to the team, but the dude is off to an unbelievable start this year.
Yep, he's right there, early, with any kind of discussion of the Norris. By the way, Carsey? I had not heard that one.
The hockey nickname
Carrier
is something else, man.
Carrier,
yeah,
becomes Carsey.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, most of the hockey nicknames become something C's with an, you know, the long E, right?
Yeah. Dutchie.
Carsey. Yeah, Dutchie. In some cases, like, you get...
There's some amending that needs to take
place. Yeah, right. But, yeah, Carsey, that's an interesting... Had you heard that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I mean, I don't know what else you would do with that one.
Yeah, there are some that you just look around and you're like, yeah, you know, there's not much to do with this one. Like, the best one was when you had Scott Hartnell and Ryan Hartman on the same team, and they were both Hartsy.
They were both Hartsies?
Like, who in the world are you talking about?
By the way, is Yeoman?
Yeoman.
Yeoman. Is he just, like, does he just go by, I guess they call him Yost.
Yost.
So you have to shorten it. Like, yeah. His last name is actually a hockey nickname.
Yeah,
Yost. You can just call him Yossi, and you're good, but they call him Yost.
Yost, Webbs, Pecks.
Yeah.
So it's a very interesting process. No one goes by their real name in a hockey locker room. That's what we learned.
What would Michelle be?
Kinez.
Kinezzi?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Rexy, Stanny.
Stanny.
I don't know if mine would be that.
What would your Stans?
Stans?
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Because Stans.
Better than Cheeks.
It is.
That would be Rex Rose.
It is better than that.
Dang.
The Nashville Predators will honor recently retired goaltender Pekka Rinne by hanging his number 35 in the Bridgestone Arena Raptors on February 24th. And in honor of this night, the team announced the 35 Pekka plan. This ticket plan allows fans to attend either 3 or 5 games during the 2021-22 season, including the February 24th game against the Dallas Stars, while also seeing a donation made to the 365 Pediatric Cancer Fund presented by Twice Daily at Monroe Carroll Jr. Children's Hospital at Vanderbilt. This 35 Pekka plan is the best way to get tickets to this historic event, and all fans in attendance will receive a replica Pekka Rinne jersey retirement banner. Visit NashvillePredators.com/Pekka plan to get your pack today. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on the Predators. Welcome your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Preds fans, join us for Smashville Live tonight on 102.5 The Game with special guests David Legwand and Scott Hamilton, hosted by our own Chase McCabe. The show will air on Wednesdays during the Preds season from 6 to 7 p.m., featuring Preds players, former players, and other special guests. You can watch the show online via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Facebook page, YouTube, and Twitter. So be sure to join us this hockey season for Smashville Live. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions, right here. Remember, FDIC, equal housing lender. The Braveheart has taken on a life of its own. Our good friend Dennis has made a nice movie poster of Mike Vrabel in Mel Gibson's Braveheart attire, and I don't know that I'm going to be able to finish the show. This is amazing.
Like, honestly, that poster makes me think that Vrabel actually would have done a better job than Mel Gibson in the movie.
Yes. Well, we have tweeted this out, both at RStanleyNHL, at Joe Rexroad on Twitter. DJ Burnside coming through again.
Talk about fast work.
Yeah.
I mean, someone throws a punt out there, and Dennis just, you know, he produces something like this. But the underrated part of the poster is like the little background photo of Vrabel on the sideline, you know, like in his regular coaching gear.
Looking like he's about to just totally destroy someone. Oh,
holy crap, man. That's amazing. Good. Nice job.
Maybe you should ask Vrabel about this later.
Just show him the picture. Just say so.
What do you think of this?
This is what I have to show you.
Oh, man.
That's a good idea. One time at, I think it was last year. No, I guess it would have had to have been 2 years ago, right? Because last year was all on Zoom. One time, like, Kaharski and Glennon were, like, sniping at each other, and he was like, you two are like those guys on the Muppets. You know, like the guys in the Muppets in the balcony? Whose names are always, it's like Statler and Waldorf.
Yeah.
You guys know what I'm talking about? Yeah. You do? Okay. Michelle, you got this one?
Come on, I got the Muppets.
So actually, during the presser, I looked up on my computer, but I forgot my computer wasn't muted. So I found, because I wanted, so like as he's talking about something, like all of a sudden it was like the Muppet Show theme started playing. But then I pointed around like, you're talking about these guys? And he's like, yep, that's Kaharski and Glennon. I kind of think they're more Matthau and Lemon. But
Can you do that?
Hey, actually, Dennis, I mean, while you're doing movie posters, if you could do Kaharski and Glennon as Matthau and Lemon and Grumpy Old Men, dude, I would pay for that to hang in my home.
Heidi from Dixon texting in, the Titan blue face paint even matches. Just don't take an arrow in the butt cheeks. That would be cheeks. This is coming from Heidi on the text line. Heidi also saying that she needs to get a patent, it seems. Bringing up the Vrabel Braveheart thing. This was originally from Heidi.
Heidi's
bringing it strong.
Heidi's
today.
Kind of on a roll lately.
Yeah.
I feel like she kind of like left us for a while, and now she's coming back strong.
That's right.
Or Lou, whatever Heidi's real name is.
Or Jared.
Jared, perhaps.
Kathleena texting in on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. How do you answer the people that continue to call for Hines and Poyle to get fired? This is coming from Kathleena on the text line. There is still, and I saw this on Twitter the other day. It was in the conversation on my mailbag on 102.5 The Game. Somebody brought this up about John Hines. Should he be fired? Is there going to be a point where that's not a conversation?
I mean, I guess today, like they just lost last night and went scoreless. So, like, I guess today I could see someone doing that because they're like, you know, it's what have you done for me lately? What was the last result? But, like, they've been playing extremely well.
Yeah, like, I don't know how you could look at the second half of last season and so far what they've done this year and not be – pretty excited about where this team is.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think you can be not excited still about the ceiling of
sure.
the team. I think that's fair. Like, do you really think this team could go into the postseason and do damage? I mean, it's fair to question that. So I think it's still fair to look at Poyle and say, you know, where is this going? Look at all that has happened. What's he going to do? How can he get out of this, right? But Hines? Hines done a really good job.
I just don't get it.
I don't either. I mean, I think it's just you've made up your mind that he's not good enough, and so you just want someone else.
Well,
but you're not paying attention to the job he's actually doing.
Well, the other part of this is, like, you've been clamoring a lot of Predators fans to, like, blow this thing up and rebuild it for a while and get younger. And, look, they've not totally blown it up. But they have gotten younger, and I think it's pretty clear that some of the younger guys are a big priority this year. So the expectation when you do that, it goes down as to what your team can be. I mean, so far, I can only speak for myself, but so far they have exceeded my expectations this year. I don't think there's any doubt about it. There's still a long way to go. And, you know, over the course of an 82-game season, who you truly are as a team has a tendency to play out that way. And, you know, I don't know exactly what this Predators team is yet, but they've certainly been better so far than I thought they would be.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I picked them to make the playoffs, but I think they've played better than I would have expected to, especially after the start. I mean, it was not a great start. And then they went 7-1-1 before last night. So that's pretty good. I mean, overall, I'd say it's better than I expected. It's been impressive. Roman Josi talked last segment, you know, finding the identity. I mean, the identity was set by John Hines. There were certain demands, and there's some players on this roster who have had to change the way they've played, and they've done it, and it has made them win.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of what you're asking the coach to do.
Yeah, like, you know, I understand being underwhelmed by the hire at the time. Quite frankly, I mean, I was underwhelmed by the hire at the time. When they hired John Hines, and especially as quickly as they did it, I was like, really?
Like, that's your – that's got to be your hire?
Yeah.
Right.
Like, really? That's the route you're going? You know, the early returns weren't good. And there was a point halfway through last season where I was like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if this is going to work out. And then the turnaround happens, and the buy-in happens, and – look, you can say a lot of things about the Predators. I still question the ceiling of the team as well, and I don't know long-term how close they really are to truly competing for a Stanley Cup. I have no idea. But I will say this. You know exactly what they're going to bring to the table. You know exactly what their identity is. And for a long time, in the latter part of Peter Laviolette's tenure here, you had no clue what Predators team was going to show up on a nightly basis. You had no clue what their strengths were, what kind of a team they were. They were soft, and this team is not that way anymore. So, again, I don't know what that means long term, but it's pretty clear from Matt Duchene on down this year, everybody is bought into the way they got to play, and they've done that so far.
Yeah. I would say on the coaching front, it's just silly, and it has to be just your predisposition that you just don't want him to be your coach. On the GM front, I mean, I think the way they've started – you would think that would cool down the fire poil stuff, but I mean, it's still, you're still in a era right now of, you know, a lot of failures on his part that have gotten him to here. Now we're going to see, you know, where they go from here, but it's right now at this moment, this season, it's pretty good.
The people commenting on the Vrabel Braveheart thing on the text line. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this the rest of the show. It's awesome. I got a text that says in all capital letters, "Don't do dumb bleep," and proceeds to cut a throat from Vrabel. Man.
So this is all because of Heidi.
Yeah.
You know, Heidi, I'm still disappointed that no one ever got a pedicure, but you've made up for it today with Vrabehart.
I mean, the movie poster that DJ Burnside has come up with on Twitter, it might be like my new header on Twitter or something like that. It's great stuff.
I mean, it's really good. Like, even just the expression, like, it fits so perfectly, you know?
Heidi is right. The face paint in Braveheart works really well with the Titans colors that they bring to the table.
I want Vrabel to see it so bad.
Someone will send it to him. He'll see it.
Oh, yeah, he'll see it.
Vrabel's a lurker on Twitter.
Yeah, he is.
Anyway.
He'll see it.
He's probably looking at it right now, howling in his office. I just love that, like the picture of him behind. It's just like that's probably like, you know, like they had a good punt coverage or something. He's like, all right, guys, you know. But it just looks like
great block by Nick Westbrook-Aquino on the perimeter.
Could be that. Could be so many things.
Oh.
But that expression, like I got to look at the original poster now and compare and contrast. Like Vrabel's kind of looking off into the distance, you know. At the English, he's about to slaughter.
We'll tweet this out at 1025 the game on Twitter. I'm looking up the Mel Gibson poster right now. It's pretty good. It's pretty close. Who knew? Maybe in his post-coaching career, Mike Vrabel, action hero.
can we just bring, like, just can Dennis be put on retainer to just, like, yes, during each show, just come up with a new movie poster?
He has great graphics.
Oh, my
Michelle
goodness.
Michelle will Uber eat you some coffee, if need be, for payment.
Yeah.
Dennis.
Heidi from Dixon texting in, "It wasn't my fault we didn't get a pedicure. Poor flaked on us." There is that. Also, the game in question never happened, but yeah. Porth did flake.
Yeah, he did flake. And when you're flaking, you probably need a pedicure.
That's right.
I'll go. I won't flake. I'll take a pedicure, Heidi.
Tune in Friday from 5 to 7 p.m. for Floyd Reese, a true Titan, honoring the legacy of Floyd Reese as the Titans' former GM as he gets inducted into the Ring of Honor coming up this Sunday at Nissan Stadium. This special will feature some of the biggest names in franchise history who knew Floyd as well as anyone. Friday's tribute to Floyd Reese brought to you by Neighbors in Nashville. Neighbors is the best sports entertainment bar in Nashville with locations in Germantown, Sylvan Park, and coming soon to Franklin as well. When we come back, we'll be joined by our good friend Adam Vingan from The Athletic. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions, right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Konezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Coming back to a losing fight song here on the program. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Adam Vingan from The Athletic, presented by Bank of England Mortgage. Adam, how we doing? What's going on?
Michelle told me that that is the Kentucky fight song, which I was unaware of because I didn't hear it last week.
That's right.
Oh, that is correct.
Listen, there's still time.
Been a nice quiet stretch for the Kentucky fight song as of late.
I still have no idea what separates that fight song from like 180 others, but whatever.
I'd also like to start off, once you're done singing fight songs, I would also like to point out, I listened earlier. I heard about your Ben Affleck hatred. Not a fan of Chasing Amy or Mallrats or any of the Kevin Smith Ben Affleck appearances.
Well, I like those movies. I like Mallrats. I like Chasing Amy. He's in a lot of good movies. Matt Damon has given him this world because of Good Will Hunting, because they're buddies, and he has done an incredible job of capitalizing on his minuscule talent, but I could put a hundred different actors in those same roles and the movies would be better with someone in place of him.
I will say this, that one of the movies that I often will always stop and watch if it's on TV is The Town, which stars Ben Affleck.
That's right.
Have you seen The Town?
I have seen The Town. I like The Town, and I think The Town, again, the one role he was amazing in, Dazed and Confused. I think The Town and Good Will Hunting, he's fine as like a Boston guy in Boston movies. But again, give me Mark Wahlberg in both those roles, and they're both better.
What if you put Ben Affleck and Ted instead of Mark Wahlberg?
See, then I wouldn't even like Ted. Well, okay, I'd still like Ted.
Adam, we appreciate you joining us this morning. So let's get your thoughts on this. I got this question yesterday from somebody on Twitter, and I think it's a good one. When and if Philip Forsberg comes back, and hopefully at some point in the near future, where are you putting him in this lineup right now? What's your ideal line for Philip Forsberg when he comes back?
I wonder if they do something similar to when Matt Duchene came back from injury last season. He immediately went on a line with Nick Cousins and Eric Halla, which you could call the quote-unquote third line. He wasn't immediately placed back into the top six. So if you like what you've seen from the Jeannot, Johansson, Tomasino line and the Cunningham, Granlund, Duchene line, then perhaps you don't want to mess with that chemistry. So perhaps you put him, Forsberg that is, on a quote-unquote bottom six line and have him work his way back up. But it is an interesting question, and I always like to say that, what is it, correlation does not equal causation. We saw this last year when Matt Duchene was out of the lineup, because remember, he got hurt in, early February, right? I can't remember exactly when he got hurt, but it was right around when he got hurt that the team started playing well again. And then, of course, there were Predators fans who said, well, it's because Matt Duchene's in the lineup and we don't need him anymore. And I think you're seeing the same thing with Philip Forsberg right now, which I think is absurd. But, you know, I wonder if John Hines, if he likes those top six lines as is, if he brings Forsberg along slowly and has him work his way back up to a top six role that he is accustomed to.
What was the line, Robbie, you had as your little Dreamline. I'd like to hear Adam's take on
this. I would like to say the idea of a Forsberg-Johansson-Jeannot line intrigues me, Adam.
I can dig it. I like that idea. I think having two quote-unquote power forwards on your top line is an interesting idea. I think Tanner Jeannot has certainly earned the right to remain in that role even when Philip Forsberg comes back. I like the chemistry he's developed quickly with Ryan Johansson. So, no, I could see that. I don't have any problem with that.
So what do you think about Tomasino? Like last night, I mean, that game could be different. He's got a couple just primo chances, which, I mean, credit to him, it's partially because he is a guy who can generate chances, doesn't finish. But, like, what do you think of him to date, and where do you think this season goes for him?
I think he looks like a 20-year-old rookie learning his way in the NHL. I mean, nothing that I've seen from Philip Tomasino this season has surprised me, whether it's the plays that he can make or some of the mistakes that he's made. This is what happens when you give a young player an opportunity to play higher in the lineup. There is some give and take that you have to expect. And there is nothing that I've seen from Philip Tomasino so far this season that has surprised me on both ends, on the good side of things and on the rookie mistake bad side of things, I guess you could say. But that game last night, I mean, UC Soros prevented that from being an absolute blowout, in which, again, confirms what we've been seeing throughout the season, that UC Soros is indeed ready for prime time. But, you know, with Philip Tomasino, I think he's grown more comfortable. You can see him using his skill a little bit more. I have no qualms with how he's played this season. Like I said, I think he's looked like a 20-year-old rookie in his first month and a half in the NHL.
Adam Biggin from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam, do you think that let me ask it this way. What do you think John Hines has to do for some of the, hey, are they ever going to fire John Hines crowd to go away? Because they're still out there.
So I have borrowed from the political world. I did this last season, and I referred to that section of Predators fans as never Hinders, that they were so upset with the hire in the first place that they were never going to give John Hines a chance. And these are questions I would like to ask to the listeners who are listening who fall into that never Hinders camp. Did you like the way the Predators played in the second half of last season? Have you liked the way the Predators have played this season, last night, notwithstanding? Do you like the fact that the Predators have a clear identity for the first time in at least a few years? Do you like the fact that no matter what the score of the game is, this team works hard from start to finish? That's because of John Hines. None of that happens without John Hines. So, we've talked about this quite a bit. Is John Hines the coach that when this team is ready to return to Stanley Cup contender status, if he's the guy that gets them there, that is still a question to be answered. But this team's turnaround over the past, the 28 games of last 28 games of last season and the start of this season, that is not possible without John Hines, full stop. So there are going to be fans who listen to this and call me, as I like to call myself, a water-carrying John Hines apologist. But it is clear to me that without John Hines, this team would still be as lost as it was in January of 2019 when they fired Peter Laviolette.
Yeah, but Adam, I've heard on shows with bad theme songs that the players don't like John Hines. I'm just saying. All right, wait.
I don't even know what the theme song of said show is, because according to said host of said show, he does not like talking about intro or bumper music.
No, but he texted me. It's the theme song to 50 Shades of Grey.
I have no idea.
Why would you
have that?
That's
a little strange.
I mean, how weird is that if that's true? Like, I have totally a completely new set of questions about Jared now. But, Adam, actually, I wanted to ask you, were you satisfied with my response in the mailbag? Because you texted me and said, you better dunk on this, to the national media hates the Preds narrative.
Yeah,
question.
That was an interesting take. And I've seen that on the comment section of my recent stories as well, that ESPN in particular is what has been singled out. So I believe it was Greg Wyshynski did a story that looked at the first month of the NHL season, biggest surprises, biggest disappointments, etc. And the team, he said, that is most likely to fade, the team that's gotten off to a good start that's most likely to fade, are the Nashville Predators. And I can't remember the name of the commenter, but basically said that everybody said the Predators were going to be bad this year, that everybody said that they were going to miss the playoffs. So because the Predators have gotten off to such a good start, that the national media is ignoring the Predators on purpose because they don't want their original takes to be cold-taked or something ridiculous like that. What is that? That is absurd. That is homerific to the extreme. You know, the Predators have played very well. Again, not last night, notwithstanding. But to say that we in the local media who were low on the Predators, even though, Joe, you did predict them to make the playoffs, I did not.
He did. Thank you.
But for those in the local and national media that had a low opinion of the Predators to start the season, to say that we're purposely ignoring what they've been doing that's good because we don't want to look stupid is also very stupid. So to that person, you're stupid and don't have those takes anymore.
Is this? I mean, if it's all Facebook stuff mostly, then we should just ignore it, shouldn't we?
You act like Twitter is any better than Facebook. Twitter is a cesspool. It's awful.
I know, but Pred's Facebook.
It's a great place.
But Pred's Facebook is like stuck in 2013.
I know. That is true. Adam Bingen from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joins us every Wednesday at 9:30. Adam, appreciate you, brother.
All right. I'm going to go watch all of Ben Affleck's greatest hits.
Please
right
do.
Now, which to Joe would only be one movie.
Give me a top 10 list.
Hey, sorry about your Saints, by the way.
You know what? I will say for all things, yesterday you were talking about, you know, which teams have also dealt with significant injuries like the Titans have. What about the Saints?
We mentioned them, didn't we?
We did. Yeah.
No kicker, no wide receiver, no starting running back. Look, hey, my dad and I were there. You know, we thought they put on a good performance for a team that was severely shorthanded. So I'll give them credit for that.
Way to go.
I will not give Brian Johnson credit for missing two extra points, yes, however.
Nor should
it
you.
Was a toughie.
Adam, we appreciate you, brother.
See you, bud.
All right, guys. Bye.
Adam Bingen from The Athletic, our guest, joins us every Wednesday at 9:30, presented by Bank of England Mortgage. We'll come back, react to what Adam had to say. Take more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Thanks to Adam Bingen, our good friend, for joining us in the last segment. And it is an interesting question. They were talking about this on Good Morning Football yesterday of who has overcome more, the Titans or the Packers. And you could throw out a couple different teams in there. We talked about the Ravens yesterday, the Colts, the Saints. I'd still put the Titans at the top of the list. It's a lot of injuries.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, the 82 thing is one thing. The one guy who is, you know, possibly lost for the year is the difference maker for me. But yeah, there's plenty of teams that have had a lot. The Saints certainly were limited, although, hey, Trevor Siemian.
QB1. I mean,
is there going to be a controversy when Jameis Winston comes back?
He's coming back next year, right? So.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right. He wouldn't be there's no chance of him coming back. Yeah, ACL. ACL?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, next year. I guess it could be a completely different. Maybe it's finally time for Taysom Hill to emerge.
Maybe so.
And realize his destiny.
100% completion percentage again the other day from Taysom Hill,
yeah,
just so you know.
Great.
Liam on the text line. One of the failings of the Jeff Fisher years was that once the team got good enough to be consistent favorites, he could no longer play the disrespect/us-against-the-world card, and the team never seemed to learn how to be the big dogs. Playing down to competition and leaving bad teams in it until the end became a problem. How will Vrabel avoid the same issues and finally get this team where we all want to go? That's coming from Liam on the text line.
You agree with that?
I mean, no. I mean, I think, number one, is a different league back then. But number two, I mean, a lot of expectations on the Titans in 2000. They went 13-3 and were the best team in the NFL. Now,
right,
they got beat in the playoffs and beat by the eventual Super Bowl champions in the playoffs.
But that's not what he's talking about. It's not playing down to someone or whatever, right? Well, that's not what we're talking about here.
No, but we did have the conversation earlier about, do the Titans actually play down to their opponent? I mean, there have been examples where they have.
Yeah, there have been. But actually, as was pointed out earlier in the show, they're actually pretty overwhelmingly successful against bad teams under Mike Vrabel. It's just that, of course, you remember, as you should. I mean, the Jets lost this year, inexcusable. The Bengals lost last year, brutal. Even the Bills loss in 18, that team was on a three-game winning streak, and that was a bad Buffalo team.
God, I hope we're not having that conversation Monday morning. I really do.
About a loss to the Texans?
Yes.
Well, that'd be, yeah.
That'd be at the top of the list.
Like I said, I think that the Titans should handle this game and win comfortably. But if they win a competitive game that's still a game in the fourth quarter, take it. Take it and move on. I won't be shocked if that's the case. But, yeah, they should win handily.
They're a 10.5-point favorite on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Not that that means everything, but they are. We'll see if the Houston offense can get to double digits on the road. That's been a problem as of late.
So 4.2 points a game in road games this year.
Other than the Cleveland game on the road.
In their last four road games, all with Davis Mills as QB.
Until the last one where Taylor was back in there against Miami.
Tyrod Taylor came back from Miami. Which, I mean, hey, look. I honestly got my first full look at Miami last week against the Ravens, and I was like, oh, that looks about like the team I thought they'd be this year, like a team that would make the playoffs.
Yeah.
They do have some guys on D. Like, they've got some talent on D. But, yeah, I mean, Taylor gives the Texans a chance to have some offensive success Sunday.
Yeah.
But enough offensive success? Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be.
Shouldn't be, especially the way that Titans defense has been playing. And, you know, we'll see what happens with Bud Dupree. But I got to feel like you're in a pretty good hands, pretty good matchup for that Titans defense heading into this week. So we'll see if the pass rush can keep it up that way. Who do you think's been more disrespectful today? You to Ben Affleck or me to Ashton Kutcher? Because we're getting hammered on the text line. A lot of Ben Affleck support out there.
I've been way meaner to Affleck than you were to Ashton Kutcher,
also,
right?
Yeah. Your grumpy old men graphic is made. Check out Twitter.
Oh, my gosh.
Of Glennon and Kaharski.
Dude, that is freaking gold.
Is this DJ Burnside again?
Yeah.
Yes, DJ Burnside.
Yeah, it's oh, my gosh, that's so good. You see it?
No. I'm going to pull it up now.
I'm CCing you on this.
Okay.
The Glennon, I think, especially with the overalls and the little hat. Oh, my gosh. Outstanding. What a day for fake movie posters.
Yeah. Do we think that Mike Vrabel will at some point see and react to this Vrabehart movie poster that's now out there?
He will see it. I mean, somebody over there will show it to him.
I would hope so.
Somebody over there will show it to him. If he isn't already lurking on Twitter, which every once in a while he'll make a funny little comment on Twitter. You're like, you're on Twitter, are you?
Hey, Luke, saw your tweets the other day.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there you go. There you go. Yeah, he'll see it. Now, will he react to it? Probably not. But
probably not.
You know.
Come probably on, Michelle. Not.
There you go. That was a
delayed.
I've
but
only
it's okay.
had one coffee, not the normal six. Yes.
Not the normal six of the show. Correct.
Coffee was clutched.
We could have just unplugged the machine, and now it's working. Thanks to Drew for that.
From now on, I'll never be able to watch a Mike Vrabel. You know how the Titans put out this post game locker room speech every week on their social media accounts? I'll never be able to watch one of those again without thinking of William Wallace. It's gonna be the first thing I think of every time.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, just imagine those speeches with a little bit of a Scottish accent, you know?
Some long hair flowing.
Go out to me. You found a home.
Don't forget Randy Bullock.
That's right. Randy Bullock.
As some people have pointed out, also didn't really end that well for William Wallace. Spoiler alert.
and specifically in some ways that Mike Vrabel has joked about. In terms of his demise.
That's going to do it for us today on Robbie and Rex Show. Hopefully, we'll be back 6 a.m. in the morning. Darren Donica Chase is up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.